eternity, smoking or not smoking, August 2014. Are you going to heaven and do you have eternal life? Saved people go to heaven, everyone else goes to the lake of fire. Most people in Christianity believe they are going to heaven because they are a good person, or because they attended church on a regular basis, or they joined the church, or gave money to the church, or helped the poor, or that God will weigh their good deeds against their bad deeds, and if they have more good than bad, then the scale will tip in their favor, and you can put in any reason that you want in there, but that's not it. Definitely, the Bible does not support any of these reasons. You can't make up a reason, you have to find what God says. The Bible teaches that no one is good enough to go to heaven. In Romans 3, verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that means you. Same. God's standard of perfection is that you have to be righteous all the time for all your life. Oops. Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's standard is so high that any sin makes you unrighteous and therefore making you a sinner destined for hell. According to the law of God, the smallest lie, any disobedience to a parent or to an employer, any work on a Saturday, the Sabbath day, or travel on a Saturday, same thing, the Sabbath law, makes you a sinner destined for hell. So, now you are going to compare yourself to other people. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm much better than you-know-who. But God says, why don't you compare yourself to my perfection? How are you doing here? Comparing yourself not to other people, but comparing yourself to me, that's God, or to my son who never sinned. The Lord will judge this world, and no one will stop him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read these verses, 7, 8, and 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his high, mighty angels, that's at the catching up of the body of Christ, and in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. What is the payment for your sins? The first part of Romans 6:23 says, Romans 6:23, first part, for the wages of sin is death. By definition, death is not eternal life. How then is anyone going to heaven? Part 2 of Romans 6 verse 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This gift is not automatically given to every person. You have to believe the gospel. Do you earn a gift? No. We're not playing a Christmas game here. Remember when you were young? When I was young? When I was a child, my mother would say, if you're a good boy until Christmas, you will have a gift. Think about it. Is it a gift if there's a condition attached to receiving the gift? No. If there is a condition, then it is a reward for good behavior. Anyway, we always got the gift. Games people play. God offers the free gift of salvation to them that what? And we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And one of my favorite verses is Romans 4:5. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We are saved by faith, and faith in believing what God has said. Most importantly, faith in what God said to us to us today in the dispensation of grace, as the Apostle Paul wrote to us in 13 letters. Salvation is not of my own. It is imputed to me by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3, verse 9. Philippians 3, verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. For we see that since we could not get the free gift of salvation and of eternal life by ourselves, then who then is able to do this for us? Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commanded His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Knowing that Christ was sinless, then how could He save me? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For He had made Him sin. Sorry. Okay, but God is talking. So, for He, God, had made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him means in Christ. Christ chose to be made sin for us and to die in our place to pay for our debt. This is how God can justify us and to declare us righteous by His Son. I've heard some time ago someone say that Christ was made a sinner for us. No, no, no. He was made sin for us. So if somebody says that, you know what to do. Some people, you don't want to listen anymore. It has to be according to what the Scripture says and not what some people think. And I heard this a few times, that He was made a sinner. No, no, no. He was never made a sinner. He was never a sinner. He was made sin. To be made sin, it means that He represented sin. He was, in the eye of God the Father, He was made sin. So He represented sin, but He was not a sinner. Never. God showed His love toward us by sending His Son to die for our sins. Christ did not have any sin to pay for. Also, it would not make sense that another sinner would pay for my sins. So Christ died for us, that we could be justified freely and have eternal life. How do we get this free gift? The answer is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I don't know if you heard that. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. No one can ever remove your salvation. It says right there, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Some people got that wrong. They say, oh, I don't believe in that once saved, always saved. I do. Do you see the three steps here? First step, you hear the gospel. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Step 2, you believe the gospel that how Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and 3 days after he rose again. Step 3, just trust what God said to you today in the dispensation of God's grace. So you hear, you believe, and you trust. Simple. You don't have to say any fancy prayer, or that someone teach you a sinner's prayer. Nah. Make a prayer of your own for God, from you to God. Keep it simple. God knows you and your need of salvation. Just tell the Lord that you recognize that you have sinned and that you believe and trust Him for your salvation. Once you are saved, nothing can change that. See what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38, 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, we have another confirmation that nothing can remove us. You're saved, you're going to remain saved. I hope you get this. Can you now answer the question? Eternity, smoking or not smoking? That's it. Have a good day.